So tonight, I'd like to invite you over to maybe a familiar verse, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. And as I started looking at this, I did kind of go the way most of the men go and gave it a title. So this would be, for me, this is what I think of: breathe, pray, and let go. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known unto God, and the peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now this verse, I'll start out and let you know that this was a life verse for me for many years. The reason I wanted to speak to it is this verse got me through many dark years, actually a couple dark years of my life recently. In 2013, I came down with a chronic pelvic pain. And there's no describing it, pain that keeps you awake all night, pain that doesn't relent when you sit down, and a pain that reminds you it's always there. And it continued, for a few months, and as it went on, I started to believe the pain would never go away, that it settled in, it was permanent. And with that came worry. With that became a feeling of anxiousness, anxiety, depression. And on top of that, this time in my life, there was a couple other events that was happening as our oldest daughter was getting married and was going to move out. So part of that is a life change. It's the beginning of the end of child rearing. It's a chapter of your life. And for a male, it can be a midlife crisis. It can be something you deal with. Never dealt with that before. And thirdly, I had taken a job at the behest of two people that once I took the job had left the company and left me in a position that I was miserable and did not like. So not only did I have a change in life, not only did I have a job that I did not really care for, I had immense pain. And it was through that time that I discovered this verse as I was praying. I would pray this every day on my way to work, and I would pray this every day on my way home. Because if you look at the beginning, the first part, breathe. And to breathe means quit holding your breath. Just breathe. Relax. And be careful for nothing. This is one of these things where you think it's so easy, it's four little words, be careful for nothing. But what does it really mean? It means to breathe. If you think of careful, careful means you're anxious. To be careful means you are worrying. You are being careful. You are being anxious. You're worrying about something. So it's kind of a worrywart verse. I jest because I was raised by a worrywart. My mom is a worrywart. I come by it naturally. I was trained that way. You know, when I go around the house and I see a cell phone or a glass of water sitting too close to the edge of the table, I move it to the center. You know, just those things. You worry about things. You're careful for things. And this says be careful for nothing, not a thing you should be careful for. You know, and I think my son-in-law would appreciate that because, you know, he left his Apple Watch on a bumper and I would have picked it up, but it came off the car. So sometimes it pays, but most of the times there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to think about. Why should you be careful? So I would also, if you wish to turn over there with me, I was going to go to Matthew 6, 25 through 30, to come back to this part of breathing, to breathe. It means God provides. And in Matthew 6, starting in 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat, or what shall you drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, I would add worry, concern, and care, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And ending, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you of little faith? So kind of that God provides, that be careful for nothing and to breathe. And I think in our society today, you might see God standing there and the thing would he would say, I got this. You could just see God saying that, right? I got this. That's what we would say. God probably has better English than I. But part of this being able to breathe and part of this being careful and part of not worrying was also being able to come to a point where I recognized the pain I was going through, the job I didn't like, and my life change. I recognized it as a gift from God. And while it was tough, it helped turn the whole thing around. It helped this verse mean everything to me in my life about being careful for nothing. Here I am worried about my pain being permanent, my life changing, my job that I hated desperately. And also part of this in my testimony is I feel like I was giving three things, you know, three being a perfect number, Gideon in his 300. There was not just one thing that I would have been able to work out on my own and get through. There were three things that overwhelmed me. There were three things to hold me down and say, don't even think about trying this on your own. So part of that, I feel, is that perspective of being careful for nothing. Breathe. Recognize where it comes from. Having a different perspective and a different understanding will give you an ability to move on to the next step. And the next step is pray. Because if we look back at Philippians 4:6, it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving. That's part of the recognizing that everything is a gift from God. There's a work going on in your lives. And a lot of this is also everything. There is nothing too small. I used to think, I'm not going to bother God asking for this. I'm not going to bother asking God for that. You know, it's too small. It's beyond. Why would God care about that? And believe it or not, you know, not seeing anything as coincidence and seeing everything as purpose. You know, my wife taught me that one time where I think it may have been keys. She lost her keys. And she stopped. She took a breath. And she prayed to help find her keys. And we found them where you never would have thought to find them or would have discovered them for some time. Now, many people would say, that's just a coincidence. You just happen to find them. But what does that perspective of coincidence get you? Is it not better to think that God did answer my prayer in every little thing? And I will tell you a better one. In practicing that, Roger and Tom, some of the older guys can appreciate that. When you're working on an engine out on the driveway, and boom, that washer nut flew right out in the grass. It was a nut. A bolt and the nut. And I'm thinking, I am never going to find that. It's a special size. I'm in serious trouble. And all of a sudden, I'm hyperventilating. And I'm worrying. I'm getting a little anxious. And then I took a breath, and I thought, I'm going to try what I preach. And I prayed. I prayed for the littlest thing. I want to find that bolt in the grass. Is it worth it? And I will tell you, instantly, my eyes locked on that bolt within feet of the driveway. And I honestly believe in my heart, 100% of me knows that was an answered prayer of a little thing that God says, I'm going to show you. It's not the big things. I want you in all your life. I want you in every thought of your life to think about me. Any concerned, I don't want you to worry. I got this. So part of that prayer and supplication, part of my journey in relying on this verse, another thing that came to me, if you notice, it says, in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, we're going to break up here in a little bit, and we're going to go into our separate areas, and we're going to enjoy some time of prayer. And a lot of our prayer is praise. A lot of our prayer is glorification. But honestly, a lot of it is supplication. It is letting God know that we are suffering, and we are asking for healing. We are asking for peace. Help us with our grief and our sorrows. That's supplication. That's asking for support. It's asking for God to do something. So what's the thing that's in front of it? Prayer. So I find that for me, it was more important to put the prayer in front of the supplication and to praise and to worship and to thank and to recognize that this gift of pain that I've been given, and it's funny that someone's not here that liked the thought of it, but you know, we learned in Sunday school that God delighted in the destruction of Israel. But I like to think God is also smiling when I'm suffering, because God knows what that work will bring, and he's excited. He's smiling to know there's going to be a change in my life. And part of that is praising him for that gift. You know, I think God's timing, or I know God's timing is perfect, right? It should be. God is perfect. Because at the time when this was happening, 2014, 2015, 2 years, I totally spent in complete pain. You know, and I was at that age where, I guess the story is, knowing now what it brought about in my life, knowing the change from the person I used to be and the person I am now, I would have liked it earlier in life. Why could you have not given it to me earlier? I guess I'm thankful it didn't happen later. I wouldn't be the person I am now. But I realized that it was the right time. It was the right time in my life to bring that, knowing that I would be able to have that perspective of thankfulness, knowing that I would recognize it as not coincidence and a gift. So part of that also is just knowing that a lot of that time when I would pray, I would follow ACTS. I don't know if you've heard that model of praying, ACTS. A-C-T-S. ACTS. And what that stands for is A for acknowledge. You acknowledge that God is in control. God is perfect. God is all-knowing and all-powerful. You praise and worship his holy name. C is confess. To go before the Lord before I do anything else, I need to confess and get right and say, these are on my heart. These are the things that I feel are between us before I speak to you. T is that thanksgiving. It's thanking the Lord for loving me, giving to me, and being in my life. And S, the last letter, is supplication. And at the very end, I ask for his mercy. I ask for his grace to get me through. And lastly, the last piece is also kind of dear to my heart. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because as I grew up Lutheran, that was the benediction that was given every Sunday. And I would cling to that every Sunday to hear that peace. I wanted that peace in my life as a young man. And once you've prayed and have asked God for your help, asked for his help, you need to let it go. Let go. That peace of God that comes to you is what gives you the ability to let go. And letting go is casting off, right? It's casting off from any of those anchors of safety. You know, there's been discussion and people have had classes about anchors. What are the anchors in our lives that we hang on to? And if you think about like a John boat, you know, no oars, no motor, no nothing. And you're in a John boat and you're hanging on to the dock. You're safe. There's an anchor. You're safe and you don't go anywhere. But what you need to do is you need to let go You need to let that float out into the sea where you have no control. And when you're out there, that's giving away. You need to cast off. You know, during this time, through all my pain and extreme anxiety and depression, I desperately sought a doctor that would give me some medication at one time. No one would give me anything as far as anti-anxiety, antidepressants. And when I finally found a doctor that did, it kind of hit me that taking that medication was hanging on to the dock. I wasn't willing to let go, even after I had recognized this was a change in my life as a gift, and this was a trial given to me. I did finally find a doctor to give me medication. And at that point, I decided not to take it. I decided that God had brought me this far. I was letting go. And if I was going to remain in His peace, that I needed to let Him be my medicine, Him be the work. And I resolved to give it time. I had resolved to go as long as it took for that change to happen without my hands on the dock. So I pushed off from the safety of that shore, did not take the medication. I put myself out into the sea with no control in God's hands and said, have what you will. But if you notice between verses 6 and 7, there's a conjunction, there's an and. So part of this letting go is that when you breathe, when you pray, and you let go, there's going to be a peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, which means we cannot understand. It's in those times that the world doesn't see, how can you be happy? How can you have joy? How can you be at ease? How can you be at peace when so much is going on? It's because I have taken a breath, I've prayed, and I've let it go. I have cast it off. If you don't worry and you pray, peace will be given to you. Why is that peace given to us? I think a lot of it is, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God wants us not to worry of the world and the physical things, to release us from the care and concern that we still suffer. We still will have those sorrows and those griefs and those pains. But I can go through it now because I know that God will be there. It's that peace that allows the change God wants to bring in your life. And it's that peace that allows that faith to be built that He wants you to have. Breathe, pray, and let it go. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your promises. And most of all, we thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your love to bring us through. And I love to see Your smiling face. As painful as life may get, I know that You will bring us through. You are there always holding our hand. You do not change. You do not lie. And You will give us the peace that we won't understand. We just thank You for the salvation we've given through the death and the forgiveness of our sins and the joy that cannot be robbed of our hearts. And we just pray that You would use us in this church and body of believers, that we would take that joy, show it to others, let it shine, and let us share it, that others may also know of a life everlasting and sins forgiven by the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.